2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of spending time in the lockup at Parliament in Cape Town, where the Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetse Ganyago, went to great lengths to explain why this 3% inflation target, which previously was 3 to 6%, was going to put South Africa on a different trajectory. Now, sometimes we have to be skeptical. Of course, we want it to happen, but is it one of those things that the state are saying they want it to occur, so it's going to happen? Or indeed, are there risks to this? And what does it all mean? Well, the man who knows about prices better than most people is Darby Root. He's the chief economist of the Efficient Group. Darby, at the BizNews conference, you were talking all about prices. I love that, going back sometimes and having a look at the videos that are on BizNews TV. And you unpacked it really well. Maybe you can, to start here, before we go into this 3% inflation target, just why prices get you up in the morning?
Alec, always nice talking to you. You know, the subject economics is just absolutely amazing. And there are a couple of things in economics then when you learn about that, you read about that, that you get this aha sensation. Now, one of those things that I really, really like about economics is something called money. Of course, I just love money. The role it plays in the economy and how money works. It's just absolutely fascinating. And something else that really, as you say, gets me up in the morning is prices. And how prices work in the economy and what it tells us about what's happening in the economy. And prices are absolutely crucially important. And they are crucially important because they tell us what is going on in the economy. You can just look at prices and it will tell you what demand and supply. We know the demand and supply stuff, for example. But there are other things that prices tell us as well. Sometimes something that's not very valuable can be very, very expensive. And there are very good reasons for that. And sometimes you will find that there are things that are not very valuable, or something that's very valuable that's not expensive. So prices, depending on circumstances and the context, can tell us so much about what's happening in the economy. And just by the way, prices is also the main difference between those two big ideological schools of thought. In the case of the free market system, prices go up and down all the time, and it's good. And in the case of a centrally controlled system or communist system, prices were fixed. And they based their whole economy around fixing prices in the allocation process of resources. So prices are just absolutely fascinating. The problem with inflation is that it removes the signals from what we get out of prices. In a high inflation environment, all prices just keep on going up. And you can't see the relative changes in prices because everything is just getting more expensive. And that's the definition, by the way, of inflation. Things are getting more expensive. But there's another definition for inflation, and that is money is becoming less valuable. And I prefer that definition because that tells us, amongst others, that the increase in the petrol price is not inflation. Inflation is not an occurrence. It's not something that happens. Inflation is always a process. And of course, you need something to feed inflation. And the thing that you feed inflation is, of course, money. It is impossible to have inflation in an environment, in a barter economy, for example. If the price of chickens go up, then the price of sheep must go down. So inflation is zero in a barter economy, for example. So prices are so crucially important. We know inflation is a bad thing because it erodes the value of money. It erodes the value of your savings. It's bad for people that earn a wage because it's especially bad for people that, like pensioners that have got a fixed pension and things like that. So we know all about those bad things about inflation. But inflation is even worse for the economy because it hides the signals that prices give to the allocators of resources in your economy. So there is, as you can see, I'm very, very excited about talking about this specific topic about inflation. And so for some people, inflation is good. For other people, inflation is bad. But overall for the economy, it is impossible to have strong economic growth in a high inflationary environment. But it doesn't mean that in a low inflation environment, economic growth is guaranteed. For that, you need some other stuff as well. So there, you can hear. I'm very excited about prices.
Yeah, I know, man. So it's all about allocation of capital. And if you don't get the information, you can't allocate capital efficiently as well. But tell us about, did you go to the lockup as well?
No.
Ahead of the MTB?
No.
You didn't go there?
No.
So what did you make, though, of the excitement that the reporters were saying about the change in the inflation target? Maybe you should start by saying our inflation target was 3 to 6%. Now it's coming down to 3%. So this is almost, it's been interpreted as it's going to happen, and it's very good news. So what do you make of that?
Okay, what is interesting for me is to see is the context, especially the what's happened between the South African Reserve Bank and the Minister of Finance or Treasury. And there was a bit of a spat between the two of them. And the reason, and there are many reasons for that. So you have to understand the subtleties here. One is that it is the prerogative of the Minister of Finance to set the inflation target. So we started off with inflation targets in 2000 of 3 to 6%. And the problem with the band is that if you have it banned, like 3 to 6%, then 6 becomes the target. Nobody's going to ask for a 3% wage increase. You're going to go for a 6% at least, or even more. All right. But it's a prerogative of the Minister of Finance. The idea was to gradually reduce this target band of inflation. We never got to that. Then we got Lesetia Kanyafa, who's the governor of the Reserve Bank, and he decided to target not the 3 to 6, but the 4.5. And also, I prefer a point target and allow some deviation off the point, like most countries in the world, because like I've said, if you have a band, the top one becomes the target. So a point is better. So then the Reserve Bank said, listen, they're going to target 4.5%. Then after a while, the Reserve Bank said, Lesetse Kanyava said, no, I'm going to target 3%. And he's telling everybody I'm going to target 3%. Then eventually, he officially said he's going to target 3%. And the Minister of Finance really chucked his toys when he heard that. Because it is his prerogative, but it's not only his prerogative, he's got some very important reasons why he did not adjust the inflation targets downwards previously. And the reasons are things like, for example, if he does that, and if he reduced the inflation target like he's done now, he was basically forced by the Reserve Bank. He didn't have much of a choice here. But if now that we have inflation of 3%, just imagine what's going to happen if Eskom comes again with a 2% increase in salary or electricity prices. Then everybody's going to get really angry because we've got 3%. The same goes for the local authorities if they go with their ridiculous increases. But very importantly, if you look at the budget of the Minister of Finance, you will see that he's budgeting for increases between 4 and 5% over the next couple of years. So he's budgeting for an increase in state expenditure above 3%. So his expenditure needs to be adjusted in line with the inflation targets now as well. And we know politicians don't like this. We know politicians like to spend a lot of money. But there's another reason. And that is, remember, inflation erodes the value of money. But inflation also erodes the value of debt. And the Minister of Finance got plenty of debt. And he wants less debt. And one way of reducing your debt is in a high inflation environment, and that erodes the value of the debt of the state. And we have a debt problem. And in fact, there are a number of ways through which the state can repay its debt. They can repay that, or they can default on that, decide not to repay that. But the very large chunk of state debt, of fiscal debt, is actually repaid through inflation, which is horribly damaging to the economy. So all these reasons combined made it, very difficult for the Minister of Finance, and reluctantly, he decided to reduce the inflation target to 3%. He was basically forced to do that, but I like it, because this means now that everybody in the economy, you're out there, you can increase your prices provided that you actually add more value, you're more productive, or your product is worth more or whatever, and then prices can and should go up. But you can't just keep on increasing prices because you've got the trade unions blowing down your neck. You can't just increase in prices because you must manage Eskom, for example. You can't just keep on increasing local authority taxes because whatever mismanagement of the local authorities. Now you must have a reason. So all those reasons put together, we are in a much, much better position now with inflation targets down to 3%. You can hear when I once I start talking about inflation and interest rates, you better stop me here, because there are some you know, looking at the Reserve Bank. So the Reserve Bank is quite happy with getting inflation target down to 3%, and I hope we're going to cut it down to 2% eventually. But there are two ways through which a central bank achieve its targets, and the one way is the mechanical way, and what they do, they adjust the price of money. So if we, in a high inflation environment, you make money more expensive, and if money becomes more expensive by increasing interest rates, then people borrow less money. If they borrow less money, less demand in the economy, and we know net less demand, slower increase in price or falling prices. So that's the mechanical process, or vice versa. The other process through which the Reserve Bank or Central Bank manages inflation is through a policy that's known as open mouth policy. And listen to Lesetja Kanyahu. Whenever he opens his mouth, he says inflation must come down. Inflation must come down. And by keep on saying that and officially adopting an inflation target of 3% now, we are actually, it's a psychological game. You're telling everybody inflation is going to be 3%, it's going to be 3%, it's going to be 3%. And eventually people start believing this and the process of inflation is halted by people not asking for 10% or 5%, but actually asking for 3% increase now because it is there. And I think Lesetja Kanyahu did a brilliant job with an open mouth policy, not only through open mouth policy, but also through the right macroeconomic monetary policy. But by keep on telling everybody about inflation, how it must be reduced to lower levels, he actually succeeded in getting inflation expectations down as well. So actually inflation at the moment is 3.6%. Inflation expectations is actually a little bit above 4%. We need to bring that down as well. But inflation expectations have been coming down. And that's crucially important. That, in fact, is far more important than actual inflation. Because inflation expectations tell you more about future inflation than actual inflation is water under the bridge. There's nothing you can do about that. That's past. But you want to know what inflation expectations going forward, what that is, because that tells you much more about what really is going to happen to inflation. But there are many other benefits, of course, with the lower inflation as well.
Michelle's a mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son and his many sports bags.
When you traded in your car with We Buy Cars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, We Buy Cars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
So he's now saying we've got a target of 3%, but it's already 3.6%. So what does that mean? How's he going to act to bring that inflation rate down to 3%? What tools does he have?
Okay, remember we target 3%. It doesn't mean that the Reserve Bank is missing its target now, because we tolerate a little bit deviation, a little bit above, 1% above, 1% below. It doesn't really matter, because it is basically impossible to get inflation to 3%. It will always be a little bit above or a little bit below. But there are various ways of modeling what is likely to happen to inflation going forward. You look at things like, for example, the exchange rate. You look at prices like, for example, the oil price. You look at demand in the economy, all those sort of things. And crucially important, you look at inflation expectations. So yes, inflation has been up a little bit, and inflation is probably going to go up a little bit more. But I think we're soon going to get the inflation leveling off again, and then gradually inflation start coming down again. Just keep in mind, there's a lot of technical noise in this thing called inflation. And a very important one is what economists call base reasons. You will find that inflation currently is going up a little bit, and that is because the base a year ago was relatively low. So you will see, because inflation is year on year, for example, calculation. And if last year was a low year, then this year will be pushed up a little bit because of the base effect. But you have to look through that, of course. And if you look through all of that noise, I think inflation is well below 4% now. So well within that range that the Reserve Bank tolerates. And in fact, I believe there's room for further cuts and interest rates as well. And that also, by the way, is what the market tells me. We saw that the capital market, the bond yields came down quite nicely recently. Now, the bond yields consist of all sort of things. It consists of the actual coupon that they pay, and there's a risk premium that you pay as well, but there's a significant inflation component in bond yields as well. And that's part of the reason why the bond yields came down, because inflation expectations there, the price that we're paying for future inflation, that has been coming down as well. And the Minister of Finance is benefiting from that because he pays interest on state debt. So, but that benefit will take time before that everything filters through to the fiscal accounts as well. But coming back to your question, 3.6% is a little bit above the 3% target, but it's well within that band that we actually tolerate.
So Duncan Peterson, the Director General of Finance, at the press conference I was at, he said that we've already saved 5 billion rand in lower interest by the bond yields coming down. And in the next 3 years, we could save 20 billion rand. So I see what you say, that the Minister of Finance is now winning on that side. But why was he kicking and screaming all the way if he actually was going to get a benefit out of this lower inflation, as we all will, as citizens of this country?
Because their eyes are not very good. Politicians' eyes are not very good. They can't see very far in the future. They can only see up to tomorrow, to the next election. And that's the reason for why. Because you pay a price for that. You pay a price, and we have been paying quite a dear price in getting inflation lower. Remember, so a relatively high short-term interest rates, what the Reserve Bank has been doing in the last couple of years, that's not good for economic growth. Because what you do, you make money expensive. People can't borrow money. They can't spend money. If you don't spend money in the economy doesn't grow. So we need people to buy stuff in the economy. But in order to get inflation lower, you had to postpone economic growth. Or let me rephrase that. In a high inflation environment, it's impossible to get the economy to grow. Low inflation doesn't guarantee strong economic growth. We've had relatively high inflation. The Reserve Bank increased interest rates to slow inflation down. They succeeded in that, but we had to postpone economic growth. And now we are in a position where we can start getting the benefits of low inflation. And one of the crucial, important benefits of low inflation is, of course, lower nominal interest rates. And the Minister of Finance is already benefiting from that, than all of us. In fact, the Reserve Bank recently cut rates again, and now we can start spending a little bit more money and boost the economy with slightly stronger demand in the economy and lead to stronger economic growth. Unfortunately, the process of getting inflation lower is quite a painful process. But the worst is behind us now, and now I think we're in a position where we can really... And I think there could be further interest rate cuts as well.
Davi, does this make South Africa more appealing to international investors, that we will become a low inflation environment?
At various levels. Remember, one thing is, let me give you one example. And when you talk about the international relations between South Africa and the rest of the world, is that your currency, your exchange rate of your currency, a part of the price that you pay for dollars, for example, a part of that also factors in inflation. So indirectly, because through various channels, we can talk about that if you want to. But your currency and inflation expectations also affect the exchange rate of your currency. And in a low inflation environment and in a stable price environment, what I mean by that, low inflation, it's also good for the exchange rate of your currency. Now, it is extremely difficult to trade internationally if your currency is all over the place, but because you can't plan. I want to go overseas at the end of the year, for example. Should I buy my dollars now or what? Or should I take a foreign, should I take some sort of protection or take out insurance for the currency volatility or whatever? So currency volatility is a price that we pay in the economy. Now with inflation lower and people actually believing inflation being lower, now in currency volatility is reduced as well, making it easier and cheaper to trade internationally as well, and of course, leading to a more foreign, actually inflows in your country. Because foreigners do not want to buy our bonds, because they buy the rand and then they buy the bonds, and now they run a risk in that when they sell the bonds and they take the money out of the currency, the rand has weakened and they've lost on the deal. But if foreigners believe that the inflation rate is going to be relatively low, and stable. That means the exchange rate is going to be relatively stable. That means they would take a chance now on our bonds, on equities, or whatever the case, because the risk of a volatile currency has been reduced. So without a doubt, this is going to be good for foreign investments in South Africa and normal trade as well.
But you'd wonder why every country in the world doesn't do this.
Most countries do. Well, the serious countries do. They target inflation. It started off in New Zealand. They were the first guys to target inflation. Before inflation, I can remember this because I worked at the Reserve Bank then. And in a way, inflation was targeted previously as well, but it was not so explicit. People didn't really understand it. Because previously, the South African Reserve Bank targeted monetary aggregates. Like, for example, credit extension, demand for credit, and money supply, typically M2 or M3. So those variables were targeted. But trying to explain that to the layperson and say, listen, credit extension increased by X percent or whatever, and money supply, I mean, that's quite difficult. So it's much easier to make it easy for people to understand this. Listen, I'm targeting inflation. This is inflation. This is how it's calculated. We've got, and we want inflation at whatever percent. And that's easier for people to understand. And crucially important, it's easier for politicians also to understand because they're the guys that do not understand quite often how monetary policy works.
Don't want to understand as well because that it's not always in their advantage. But can we believe the inflation figure? Often, I'm sure you must get it all the time. People in the street say, no, the inflation's wrong because I'm paying more for my peaches.
That's a valid point in a way because, you know, when you talk about the inflation rate, we usually refer to the inflation rate as a consumer price index. Now, what is that? It's a basket of goods that's supposed to represent the average South African. So this is the price of stuff that the average South African buys, and is then the prices of these things increase at X rate, for example. That's the inflation rate or the consumer price index. But the reality is there are many, in fact, there are millions, tens of millions of inflation rates in South Africa. Because the consumption pattern, my consumption pattern differs from yours, and the consumption patterns in the rural areas is different from the cities. The various cities differ. The various age groups spend their money differently. So everybody's got a different inflation rate. But Stats South Africa, they've got a very tough job here trying to get a basket that represents the average consumer out there as well as possible. And of course, I can promise you the inflation rate in South Africa is incorrectly calculated, but it is really the best we have. And most economic data are estimates. Economic growth is an estimate, for example. Even unemployment data is an estimate. The only actual hard data are things like, for example, the exchange rate. You can see what the exchange rate is or actual interest rates. But for most of these economic numbers that economists throw around like this, most of these are estimates. And inevitably, there will be mistakes in that. But I can tell you, I've had a look at the inflation data, the basket. I've followed it for many decades. I am very, very happy with the way that Stats South Africa calculates this. But people quite often forget, in the inflation basket, there are things like, for example, the price of cars. You don't buy a car every day. So you don't really know. You don't have a feel of that. There are other things like, for example, the cost of electricity or the cost it's not only food. People tend to think inflation is only about food. It isn't. And in fact, if you look at prices over time, and depending how you measure that, but in many cases, prices are actually coming down. If you take the effect of inflation out of this and then look at so-called real prices, many cases, including for things, basic things like food, prices actually came down. Over a long period of time, if you measure things in terms of how much labor you need to put into something in order to buy that. How long do I need to work to be able to buy a loaf of bread, for example? And today, the time value of bread is a fraction of what it was only recently, relatively recently. So prices are actually coming down. People saying it is true. Sometimes bread goes up, a meal price goes up, but sometimes it comes down. And that's another reason why it's so important to have low inflation, so we can see what is really going on. In a high inflation environment, you can't see what is really going on. In a low inflation environment, now we can see, and we've got a better idea about what is really going on. So, yeah, the comment about, yes, it could be that certain individuals' inflation rate is higher than others because the consumption pattern difference. But that also means that if your inflation the rate is higher indeed, then within a short period of time, your inflation rate is going to be lower than the average again because it is impossible. There are many things that I'm using very strong words here. Like I've said, it is impossible to have inflation in a barter economy. You need money. You must have money. It is also impossible for the price of one thing to keep on going up at the rate more than other things. Let me give you a simple example. If the price of a Volkswagen goes up by 6% and the price of a Rolls-Royce goes up by 5% and it happened and it keeps on going up like that for many years, then eventually the Volkswagen will be more expensive than the Rolls-Royce. So this is another argument. People say, but medical inflation is higher than normal inflation. It might be so, but not forever. It's impossible. Because if medical inflation is higher than the rest of their basket forever, then eventually the basket will consist of medical expenses only. So people miss out on these sort of things. But it's possible in a short term, but some people's inflation rate could be higher than that, yes.
But the real message here is it's a good thing. It's going to help keep interest rates lower. It is also going to help the currency not go crazy and fall out of bed as it has seemed to have done on a regular basis. Now all we need is for the politicians not to give us these crazy shocks, which will then, I suppose, give a jolt to any system.
But there's a huge responsibility on all of us now, a huge responsibility. And that is when somebody comes to you and says, listen, I want to increase my prices above the inflation rate, just don't accept that. In fact, you don't even want a 3%, you want a 2% increase. So put up a fight. It's our responsibility. I don't accept an increase in prices. But you have to remember, there's another responsibility now. If I want to increase my wages more than 3%, I must increase my productivity first. And then I can ask for more than a 3% increase. So do not accept increases in prices above the inflation rate. It's a responsibility of all of us to get this inflation lower. We've made the pain is behind us. Much of the pain is behind us. Now we've got inflation down to just over 3%. Now let's keep it there and let's do not accept another ridiculous increase by Eskom. We just simply do not accept that. The same goes for the local authorities. The same goes for Transnet. The same goes for whoever, whatever. You can only increase your prices if there's an increase in value of your product or an increase in productivity. Only then are you allowed to increase your prices. It's our job to make sure inflation remains where it is. It's good for the economy. It's going to be good for all of us.
Dobby Roat is the chief economist at The Efficient Group. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.